Lord, thank you that the devils know who Jesus is, and we pray that we would know who Jesus is even more, and we can share in the victory over the devil, and we can share in his forgiveness for all the times we fail. In Jesus' name, amen. When I told Joy, my wife, that I was preaching on temptation today, she said, well, everybody knows something about that. True? I do. And you do, don't you, Dale?
Absolutely.
There you go. And we all have temptations of different kinds, though, don't we? Yeah. Pastors have temptations that other people don't have often. Church leaders have temptations that others often don't have. We all have different temptations. But mostly we know what temptation is because we've failed. We've given in. We've finished off that block of chocolate. Somebody told me recently, if I get started on a block, I just don't stop. We've secretly read 50 Shades of Grey or something like it. I admit I haven't. Or we've skipped church, a church meeting, because the cricket was on or the football was on. We made some up little story about I'm feeling a bit tired tonight, I've got a headache, you know, something like that. These are little temptations, about the beginning of what we call the slippery slope, which leads us away from God. Now, we may laugh about that, and people can easily laugh when we talk about things like that. But Jesus says, whoever is dishonest in little things will also be dishonest in big things. He wasn't altogether talking about temptation there, but the drift is clear. No one knows temptation like the person who's resisted temptation right to the end. And there's only one person who did that. And that was Jesus, who said no, 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 till the bitter end, or till the better end, to the victorious end. It's a wonderful story, the story of the temptation. It says that he resisted the temptation for 40 days and 40 nights, and then the devil left him. Isn't that amazing? The devil had been beaten, he left, he left with his tail between his legs, or whatever he's got. But it says in one of the Gospels, until another time. And there were plenty of those times. All his life was really a time of temptation. But remember this one? Again, he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. And again in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he told his disciples, now you watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation, which they did, despite everything he said. And he went and prayed to his Father, and he said, your will be done. Not my will, but your will. That's about temptation, isn't it? Is it going to be my will or your will? And then when he was on the cross, he was challenged to come down. And in this most dreadful forsakenness that he was in at the time, he called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He could have come down, but he committed himself to God, his Father. And that really tells us a lot about what temptation is about. It's about whether we're going to follow our way or God's way. From the wilderness to Mount Golgotha, Jesus is tempted to forsake God, but he remains faithful to him and is obedient unto death. He's faithful, the confirmation verse, be faithful unto death. We who are so weak, even when faced with minor temptations, need to know that we never face temptation by ourselves. Luther had a fellow reformer called Philip Melanchthon. He was a younger man than Luther. And Philip once wrote, old Adam was too strong for young Philip. We could say that, couldn't we? Old Adam, the devil, the world and our flesh, is too strong for us. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Because Jesus suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. That's in Romans 8 and Hebrews 2 and 4. Jesus is able to help us when we're tempted, not just because he's stronger than Satan is, but of course he is, but he's able to help us because he has been tempted more than we ever will be, and every time he resisted temptation, he was obedient to his Father through all temptation that he faced. Temptation comes down to this: will I obey God and live for his glory, or will I please myself and choose the easy way, the way that the majority is following? Will I take up my cross and follow Jesus, or will I seek to gain the whole world for myself, which is from another one of Jesus' stories? Jesus conquered temptation by believing and obeying the word of God. Jesus had just been baptized and he'd been told by his Father these wonderful words: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased." And Satan immediately questions that. "If you are the Son of God," Satan says, "tell these stones to become bread." If you're the Son of God, come on. Show it. Show that you're the Son of God. Prove you're the Son of God by looking after yourself. You know that old saying, I don't know if it's old or not. You owe it to yourself, right? You owe it to yourself, don't you? You owe it to yourself. Prove you're the Son of God by living in a flash home. No, wait a minute, I missed something out. Look after yourself, and Jesus says, "Man shall not live on bread alone." Look, you owe it to yourself. You should get a bigger home. Even though all the kids have left home, you should get a bigger home to rattle around in. Jesus says, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Prove you're the Son of God by dodging the cross, taking the easy road, and Jesus becomes the man who is obedient unto death. That's what we think about so much in Lent, isn't it? Obedient unto death. Satan knows how to call our faith into question. If you are a child of God, you'd think you'd be a bit more blessed in your life, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think you'd be a bit more holy if you're a child of God? You're an elder. Anybody'd think you'd be a bit more holy if you're really dinkum. And you'd think that you'd be a bit more happy, don't you reckon? Well, I don't, are you happy because you're nervous or you... you'd think you'd be more happy. Come with us. Come on, come with us. Be part of the carnival crowd, part of the happy hour. Interesting, the terms, aren't they? Part of the easygoing majority. And Jesus says heaps of things to this, but I've just picked one out. He says, "I'm the bread of life. If you eat of this bread," not the bread that's offered to him in the desert, "but if you eat of this bread, you'll live forever." That's good, I reckon. You'll live forever. Second temptation: if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from the highest point of the temple. Satan even quotes the Bible. He says to say the angels will catch you, Jesus, before you hit the ground. Don't know what happened to James Heine, though. Pity James isn't here today. Because, as you know, he did hit the ground a bit hard. Jesus, prove yourself with religious circuses. Impress people, Jesus, and members of Jesus. Put on even more impressive acts than the fringe. Come on, outdo the fringe. Get big name speakers, church. You know, some film star suddenly becomes a Christian. See if we can get him to come to church so we can impress all the people. And about 2 weeks later, he's already fallen away from Christ. And then we've all got egg on our faces. Big bands. We should get a bigger band, don't you think? Maybe that would do it. Maybe our buildings could have been built a bit bigger even. I mean, 1 million, 2 million, what's the difference really? Maybe that would have done it. Don't tempt God, Jesus says. And thirdly, Satan says, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. That sounds an easy one, doesn't it? Just a little compromise, you know, just a little bow of the knee. You know, this fellow Naaman the leper, wasn't it, who kind of got saved because he got cured from leprosy by Elijah, and then he went back to serve his king. And he said, I'm in a bit of a dilemma here now. What am I going to do when I've got to bow down and worship that God? And he got around it by, he said, I'm just going to bow down on the outside but not on the inside. That's walking a bit of a tightrope, isn't it? On the outside but not on the inside. Enjoy cheap grace, folks. Get baptized, but don't bother about following Jesus. As long as you're baptized, isn't that all that counts? Believe, that's what saves you, being believing, but don't bother about obeying God. Because you're not saved by obedience, you're saved by faith. Be forgiven. Good to be forgiven. Don't worry about repentance. Don't put too much emphasis on repenting. Worship God on Sunday, but worship Westpac on Monday. Does Westpac still, it's still Westpac, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. I don't deal with them, so I don't care. But Westpac on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. Now, this sounds to me like the Christianity that we have in the Western world. It sounds a lot more like the world does it than the way Christ does it. It looks like what Matt read to us, the fruit of the tree, which is good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for becoming, in my own words, a smart aleck, but which leads to death. Leads to death. That doesn't look like taking up your cross to follow Jesus, that kind of Christianity. That take up your cross, which leads through suffering and leads through death and then to resurrection. I want to tell you about Habila. Habila and his family were pulled out of their home in the middle of the night by gunmen. Habila was asked a number of questions, and the big question was, are you a Christian? And this is where temptation comes, right? Are you or aren't you a Christian? If you give in, what would you say? No, I'm not. Habila said, yes, I am. I am. Again, are you a Christian? Renounce your faith and save your life. Three times he's asked, and then they put pressure on his wife to persuade him. I'm a Christian. We're Christians. We're not renouncing our faith. No, just renounce Jesus and say, there's no God but Allah. And the third time when they asked the question, they put the gun right to his mouth. Right to his mouth. And they pulled the trigger. And he fell to the floor, bleeding to death. But you know, he didn't die. I don't know how, he didn't die. And hours later, they got him to a hospital and he was still alive. And the next morning, his wounds were nearly all healed. Nobody knew what, how, but they were pretty much healed. And they were asking him, this is a miracle, what's going on? What's going on here? Well, he didn't know except to say that God had done it, that God had done it. And they were asking, what do you think about these people who did it to you? He said, if I meet them, I'll go up to them and I'll give them a hug and I'll forgive them because they don't know. They don't know. But God, I know God, and God loves me and forgives me. And that's why I would treat them like that. So how are we to resist temptations? To just give in? To prove that we're Christians by doing flashy things? Or to compromise with Satan on little things or big things? I can give it to you in three words in the text. Do you know what they are? It is written. It is written. Jesus knew God's word, and he quoted God's word, and he obeyed God's word, and he defeated Satan with God's word. Not with a weapon. The weapon was the word. He knew God's word. Jesus knew God's word, and that means he knew God's will. And of course, he had a bit of an advantage because he heard it direct as well, whereas we don't so often hear it quite like that. Maybe we do. And as a result of that, he was obedient to God in every situation in his life. And we're told, and by his death, he destroyed him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. And surely that's the biggest call to us this Lent. Don't get too focused on the little things like giving up chocolate and thinking you've done well, or whatever the British Prime Minister said she was giving up for Lent. Good for her. Get focused on God's word. That's the issue. Let nothing take you away from God's word. Let nothing distract you from God's word, which leads you to God's will, and which leads you above all to Jesus Christ, and leads you above all to Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you on the cross, and through him there is forgiveness for all our failures. It is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but by, what's the next word? But by, what's the word? You know, I've known this passage for 60 years, and I've only noticed it the other day. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word. Every, that's the word. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. Did you hear it? Every word. When Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe everything. Everything that I've commanded, not a couple of things, everything, every word. We can't live off a few half-forgotten Bible verses from our confirmation days. That's not going to get us anywhere. We live by every word that God speaks. And so many Christians today are so ignorant of God's word. So many Christians today cannot quote a Bible verse. Maybe out of context they can, but can't quote a Bible verse when they're being tempted or whenever anything's happening. So many Christians today don't even know what the Bible says about sin, leave alone what it says about the Saviour. Where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. But if you only half know what sin is, you only half know what a Saviour you have. This Lent is a time to read God's word. However busy you are, even if you fall asleep normally when you read, read God's word. We've even, Sharon's given you some little helps to read. They're only short readings each day. Read them and think about them. You'll read the Gospel of Luke during Lent that way. And do it. Do it. This Lent's a time to turn to Christ crucified and to find in him forgiveness for all your sins and to find the victory through his word. And then we come to this wonderful verse again. Then the devil left Jesus and angels served him. Isn't that what you want? Get out of here, Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you with God's word. And Jesus went on from that occasion at the start of his ministry to win the victory of sacrifice over selfishness, of love over hate, and of life over death for us. Lord, be with us and help us to read your word, and to take it in and to live according to it, and to glorify you so that people can see that we're your people and they can be drawn to you who lead beyond the junk of life to the most precious treasure of Jesus and eternal life. We pray in his name. Amen.